This morning we'll be looking at the subject entitled, The Gospel of Christ. We see this expression used. It's used in the King James in at least 10 verses. The most notable one is what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to me, or to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The word gospel comes from a Greek word, euangelion, which means a good message. The gospel or the gospel. So the gospel of Christ is a good message. And so we're going to talk about the gospel of Christ this morning. As we think about other places to choose, especially over in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul said, "Only let your conversation or your manner of life be as that becometh the gospel of Christ." That is, the way we live must be in accordance with the gospel of Christ. It should glorify the gospel of Christ. "That whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the truth of the gospel." So the gospel is the truth. So we're to strive, we're to walk in, we're to be led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, which is the agency that revealed the gospel of Christ to the apostles. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul referred to it as the glorious gospel of Christ. So, of all people, Christ is glorious. He brought a glorious sacrifice. He brought a glorious message. He brought, a way that we can be glorious as well by being obedient to the gospel of Christ. And Paul was talking to the Corinthians. He said, "In whom the God of this world, it is the devil, has blinded the minds of them which believe not." He said, "Lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So have you allowed the God of this world to blind you to the gospel of Christ? You know, many have been blinded by false teaching or the God of this world. Many believe that you don't have to do anything in order to be saved. All you have to do is just believe. But that's not what we find in the gospel of Christ. If you think about the gospel of Christ, remember, the gospel is God's message to man. Paul made this clear when he wrote to the Galatians and told them and rebuked them because they were believing another gospel. He said, "Which is not another, not the same that I preach to you." But Paul said in verse 11 of chapter 1 of Galatians, he said, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So what Paul taught was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, and that was God's message that God wanted to be promulgated to mankind. So he taught the gospel of Christ. It's the good news of the Messiah and his kingdom. Over in Luke chapter 2, we find where Joseph and Mary are approached by the angel of the Lord. And the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So that's good news, isn't it? Just the fact that Christ came, that what the prophet said, prophesied of, actually happened and came. Over in Matthew chapter 24, we see where Jesus went about all Galilee. He was teaching in their synagogues, the synagogues of the Jews, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Then over in chapter 24, verse 14, we see where Jesus tells his disciples, he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall come the end." So he talked about the gospel of the kingdom. So we see where that gospel is the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul said, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." Why? He says, "Because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel," Paul said. The gospel that was revealed to him that he was committed to. He said, "To the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the good news of salvation. Paul gloried in the fact that the Thessalonians had received it and were obedient to it. It's also the good news of grace that is available and obtained through the gospel of Christ. Paul, when he was before the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he said, "None of those things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy." That is his teaching, his preaching ministry. And the ministry, he says, "which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." The gospel of the grace of God. In Acts 20, verse 32, later on in that chapter, Paul, when he warned the Ephesian elders that there would be some who would draw away disciples after them, he commended them. He said, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace," that's the gospel, "which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." So we're sanctified, we're built up by belief and obedience to the gospel. And Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, "Is it for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, lest we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." So God's grace, His gospel, teaches us how to live so we'll be pleased to God and be saved on the last great day. Some say, "I don't need to believe the gospel." Or, "Why do I have to believe the gospel?" You ever had somebody ask you that? No, the answer is you don't have to. Do you know that? You don't have to believe the gospel. That's a quick and simple answer. But if you don't, you'll be lost eternally. Do you want to be lost eternally? I don't think anybody here does. If you don't have to believe the gospel, you can suffer the consequences of God's wrath. Somebody say, "Where does it say I have to obey the gospel to be saved? Why can't I just believe?" We'll talk about that. But do you believe the word of God or the word of Christ? Do you? If you do, then you must believe and obey the gospel. See? If you don't believe and obey the gospel, then you don't believe the word of Christ. So what if you do not obey the gospel? We want to talk about that. We'll cover that as we go along. When I think about God, you know, God, He's holy, righteous, and all have sinned against Him. Paul made this clear over in Romans chapter 3, or 3 verse 23, where he said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so we're so sinful that there's no way that we can save ourselves. John over in 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 says that whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. So what law? It doesn't matter what law that God has mandated, but any law that God mandated in any dispensation, if one transgresses, they sinned. Think about Adam and Eve. They partook of the forbidden fruit. And there's where sin entered into the world. But God is holy. He's righteous. All have sinned against Him. And all need salvation. We have to admit that we're all sinners. We've all sinned and we're in need of God's salvation. Not only do we need it, but God desires that all be saved, doesn't he? He does not want anyone to be lost. Peter said that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. You know, we're slack concerning our promises sometimes, but God isn't. He said he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he wants all to be saved, all to come to repentance, and come to believe in obedience to the gospel of Christ. See, he's provided the gifts of salvation, the gift of eternal life to those that obey it. Paul told the Romans in Romans 5, he says, therefore being justified by faith, that is faith in Christ, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we are obedient to the gospel of Christ, and we have that hope of eternal life. And Paul, when he wrote the Romans a few next chapter over, he said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when you work and you get wages, you're getting something you deserve. When we sin, we get what we deserve, death. But God's salvation is a gift. See, there's a contrast there between what we deserve and the gift that God gives through salvation. So that shows God's mercy. We don't get what we really deserve if we obey the gospel. If we're obedient to His will and have our sins washed away, then God's grace, His mercy shines in that fact. See, and God has always required man's trust and obedience in every age. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, we can read about what I call the Hebrews Hall of Faith, not fame, faith. When we see that there were those mentioned who said by faith they did this and that. Just turn over to Hebrews 11 real quick with me. And we see where faith is described as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or assurance of things not seen. He said, for by it elders obtained a good report, and through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. And a lot of people deny the creation. They deny that God spoke this word in existence. We can't prove He did. We can't prove He didn't. But we have faith that He did. Because we read Genesis chapter 1. Well, that phrase, that famous phrase, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and so on and so forth. So we see as the world was framed in a way that we can't explain. Hard for us to fathom how God can just speak the world and all things and our universe into existence. Now, Steve did a good job in talking about, I remember he did a lesson, I can't remember what the title of the lesson was, but he talked about how our solar system and just how small the Earth is as compared to some of the other planets, and all this is in place and going on, you know, hundreds of years and just timely. You know, we can set our clocks by the sun rising. Couldn't be just happen chance. If I told you that this pencil here, that there was an explosion in the woods and out came this pencil, you'd say, you're crazy. Well, that's how I look at those who say there was a big bang and here we are. But see, God has declared that man must obey the gospel to be saved. It's declared throughout His word. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. See, the gospel, as we describe the gospel, you know, it's sound doctrine, it's healthy teaching. If we are obedient to it, we'll survive spiritually, and we'll be a lot better off physically. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 10, he said, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menstruators, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel, the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. So the gospel is glorious. Simple things are contrary to sound doctrine. Sin is contrary to the gospel of Christ. We'll talk about that this evening when we continue our study on the flesh and the spirit, the battle that's going on, and we can win that battle. But the gospel is sound, healthy teaching. It will spiritually make us right with God. The gospel is preached to Christians. In Romans chapter 1, verse 7, Paul told the Romans that were in Rome, he says, beloved of God, he called them, these Christians, beloved of God, called to be saints by the gospel. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel was preached to Christians. You're all Christians, most of us here today, and I'm preaching the gospel. See? It's not just the alien sinners, it includes alien sinners, but it's preached to Christians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul told those in Thessalonica, says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. He's talking about Christians. They preached the gospel of God too. Then in chapter 3, verse 2, he says, Timothy is our brother and the minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, so we can be established by the gospel. We can be rooted, built up, as Paul talked about in Colossians chapter 2. We're to be rooted in him. We'll be steadfast if we are, as we talked about last week, remember? See, the gospel does not exclude the epistles. A lot of ideas are going around that the gospel doesn't include the epistles. But we can go to just one verse here, two verses rather. Galatians chapter 2, where Paul said, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel, which I preached among the Gentiles. He's right next to the Galatians. But previously, or privately to them, who were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or have run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren awares brought in, who came in privily, defiled our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us to bondage, to whom we gave no place or no place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might be. And I continue with you. So they were preached. Paul preached the gospel to the Galatians, brethren, after they had believed it and obeyed it. And so we can't overstate the importance of the gospel. Can't be overstated. It was so important that Jesus sent his disciples into all the world. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. Does that make it important? If I said, I have something important I want to tell you, and everybody needs to hear it, I mean, it's important if everybody needs to hear it. Some things everybody doesn't need to hear it, but the gospel, everybody needs to hear it. They need to obey it in order to be right with God. And God Jesus is such importance that he sent us all the world. So that gospel is the good news of Jesus. Turn on to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul talked about this. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you believe in vain. He said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he died and he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So Paul preached the doctrine of Christ. He preached the message of the gospel. He preached salvation. And what was proclaimed by Christ, what he would do, that he would come into the world as the Messiah. He did all this according to the Scriptures. So this is good news, isn't it? When we see an actuality where what was prophesied that we've been studying about in our Wednesday evening study actually came into fruition. Good news. So there's good news in Christ. So that good news has to be preached. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul said, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not being moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made mention. So that shows it was important. It had to be preached to God's audience that he wanted all to hear, his creation, mankind. He said, take it to every creature, you're talking about every humankind, every human being. Peter said that he had preached the gospel. He said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, it says, to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things that are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. For the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. The apostles were inspired by the Holy Spirit as God, as his will provided and Jesus promised. And they were to preach the gospel. You see, what was preached had to be received. It had to be accepted. In Acts chapter 8, verse 18, we see where the Corinthians, they hearing, believed, and were baptized. That is, when they heard the gospel, they believed it and were baptized because they received the message. They understood the importance of it. They understood they were sinners and in need of salvation. Over in Acts 2, verse 41, the text is there, those that gladly received the word. Remember there in Acts 2, verse 38, after Peter had preached the sermon, you know, they said, what shall we do? And then, brethren, what shall we do, when they realized that they had crucified the Christ, as Peter proclaimed? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. We say that those that gladly received his words were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. So it has to be received. Unfortunately, many reject it. To expect the Lord to save you on his terms, as it has to be, it's got to be received. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, he says, for he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, that is a gospel that's perverted, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him, that is, withstand him, don't put up with him, withstand that. Don't let that overcome you. Don't accept another gospel, he's telling you. We have to stand in it. We have to be obedient to it. Paul told the Corinthians there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again, verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach you, which also you have received, wherein ye stand. If you keep it, you'll be saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain, you'll be saved. They had to continue in it, didn't they? They had to stand in it. Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in the hope of God. In other words, they dwelt in it. They believed it. They lived it. They practiced it. we stood in it. Sometimes we say we need to take a stand. We need to believe what is right. Uphold what is right. Paul's in the Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. He said, as he has therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. He's describing standing in the gospel there. We have to stand in it. We have to walk in it. Built up, be established in it. Not easily moved, not be easily swayed by a false message. See, it's the good news of Christ we're talking about. Because it will save. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, or Romans 1, 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This is a Jew person of all to the Greek. So anyone who believes and obeys it, it will save. So it saves. But there's more to it than that. Because there are facts that we have to believe concerning the gospel. Now we have to acknowledge that Christ is the Son of God, that He arose from the dead. Now Thomas over in John chapter 20 had trouble with this. He said he wouldn't believe that the other apostles had seen Jesus, they told him, unless he saw him himself. If somebody told you that today, what would you do? Man, you don't have faith. You can't be saved if you have that attitude. That's what I would tell him. You have to believe that he is. He's rewarded them that diligently seek him. You have to believe as Jesus said. You have to believe. So Thomas, he would not believe unless he saw Jesus. He said, my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, yet those that have not seen me are more blessed because they believe. Let me read that. John 20. Let's turn to John 20 beginning, and we'll back up a few verses there. Thomas said to him, when he saw Jesus, when Jesus came in, and after eight days that he had previously appeared to the apostles, and Thomas was not there when he did the first time, but he appeared there, and he said, peace be unto you, verse 26. Then he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and trust to my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples are not written in this book. But these things that are written, the things that we have available to us today in God's Word, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing will have life through His name. So we have sufficient proof, sufficient evidence in God's Word to cause us to believe. If this doesn't convince you, you can't be convinced. If what's written doesn't convince you, you can't be convinced. So you have to believe those facts there. We haven't seen Jesus, but Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen me, yet have they. They have believed. They're more blessed than you are, Thomas, because they haven't seen me and they believe. So what about us today? We believe what is written in the Scriptures. We'll be blessed by it. We'll have life through His name if we're obedient to the gospel. If you don't, you won't have life through His name. It's just that simple. Because you have to obey the commands. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus, when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, he said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. We have to do his will. Can't have it your way. Can't do what you think is right and expect God to accept it. No. Have to do what God says is right. Because what man says is right is not what God says is right. And then we'll receive the promises. So when we believe the facts, when we obey the commands, the promises are made to those, and we'll receive those. In Titus chapter 1, verse 22, Paul said, a servant of God and an apostle of Christ according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life. There's the promise. Which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God couldn't be God. He couldn't be all true and holy and righteous if he lied about it. Paul said in Colossians 1 verse 5, he says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. That's the promise that's given to those that believe and obey the gospel. A lot of people have a hope of heaven, but they're not going to get there because they haven't obeyed the gospel. That hope only is applicable to those who obey the gospel. Have you obeyed the gospel? Has everybody obeyed the gospel here today? And then let me back up here. Ephesians 3, verse 6. Paul said that the Gentiles could be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promises. So Christ sent the gospel to the Gentiles. We find the first gospel message being sent to the house of Cornelius, the first Gentiles to receive it. Why? So they would be partakers of the promises in Christ by the gospel. So any man, Jew and Gentile, can receive the promise, but that promise is conditionally received upon obedience to the gospel. See, the gospel is for the whole world. That's why Jesus sent all his disciples into all the world to preach the gospel. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 16, in this account, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts chapter 10, we see when Peter was with Cornelius, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation. He said, but in every nation, he that heareth, feareth him, and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. It doesn't matter if you're what race you are. All that matters is if you're obedient to the gospel. Then in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus sent his disciples. We have Matthew's account. Jesus came and spake unto them and said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you all the way, even to the end of the world. So all the world needs the gospel. The alien sinners are part of that world. In Matthew 16, verse 15 and 16 again, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And Christians need it too, don't they? Paul taught Christians in Romans chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Paul says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, speaking to Christians. Jesus, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power of God and the salvation to everyone, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Then in chapter 16, verse 25, he said that the power is to, he said, now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So Paul, he strengthened, he established churches throughout wherever he was preaching in the gospel of Christ. So the gospel is for the whole world, includes alien sinners and Christians. See, we're not to be ashamed of it. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, in 1 Timothy chapter, and we've quoted that a number of times, we'll quote it again, but in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, Paul said there, it says, for who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? So it's nothing to be ashamed of. Paul said he was not ashamed to teach and preach it. We talked about that in our class this morning. We should not be ashamed to tell someone you're a Christian. Someone to ask you, are you religious? I go, why do you ask? And that's a good question to ask them. Why do you ask? But they'll say, what are you religious? Well, yes, I'm a Christian. Most people want to know what kind. I go, well, there's not any kinds of Christians. There are faithful ones, I guess you could say, and unfaithful, but I'm just a Christian. That's what the power of the gospel will make Christians. It doesn't make Baptist Christians or Catholic Christians. You find no such mentioned in the scriptures. Just Christians. The Christians first at Antioch were those who, and Antioch were those who believed the gospel and believed the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, we see where, beginning at verse 8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience to the things that he had suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey him. Anyone who obeys God's word, who unashamedly obeys God's word, will not be ashamed of the gospel. Because, you know, if we're ashamed of the gospel, we're ashamed of Christ. Just put it down. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus said, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, the gospel of Christ, me and my words, and this adulterous and simple generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And then to be ashamed of faithful brethren. Notice I said faithful brethren. Those who stand up for what is right. When it's not so popular to stand up for what is right. But to be ashamed of faithful brethren is to be ashamed of the gospel and Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Paul said, therefore be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And so we can't be ashamed of the truth. Now we live in a time where you have all this business about trying to make people ashamed of what they stand for. The Christians are shamed when they stand up opposed to homosexuality and lesbianism and all this garbage that we hear promulgated today. People are ashamed. They're put to shame by those who don't believe the truth. Paul said in verse 15 of that chapter, 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, says, the Lord, give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. He's talking about Paul. He was not ashamed of what Paul stood for. See, Paul was put to death for what he stood for, because a lot of people didn't like it. The Jews especially, who looked at Paul as a turncoat. But Paul says, don't be ashamed. We're not to be ashamed of faithful brethren. See, they were to be preaching the gospel boldly. Paul urged those in Ephesus to pray for him when he talked about the armament of putting on the whole armor of God. And he said in verse 18, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And as for me, he said, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, that is unashamedly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. And Paul unashamedly preached God's word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, we see where Paul charged Timothy. He said, preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, who shall judge the quick? He charged him by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, who shall judge the quick and the dead, or the living and the dead? It is appearing in his kingdom. And he said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Those that won't endure are those who are ashamed of it. But after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away to the ears of the truth and should be turned into fables. But he told Timothy, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Endure afflictions, this is what he described, of those who will not receive sound doctrine. Do the work of the evangelist. Keep preaching. Make full proof of your ministry, he told them. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 20, Paul said, I kept back nothing that was profitable for you, for I've shown and showed you and taught you from publicly, from house to house. So Paul taught unashamedly what they needed to hear. A lot of preachers won't preach what the members need to hear. That's not good. That's not bold preaching. See, the gospel is the message of peace. It brings peace. It can bring us peace with God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 15, Paul said, How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. Good thing. We can have peace with God by being in humble obedience to His will. When we're going against God, we're His enemy. He's our enemy. Or we're His enemy, one or the other. However you want to look at it, we're at enmity. We're at odds with God when we disobey His word. Moving on in Romans 10, verse 16, says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, his belief I record, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, he says. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, they are, the sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I'll provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not, I was made manifest unto them that asked not of me. But to Israel, he said, all day long I stretched forth my hand to the disobedient and gainsaying people. See, they could be made right with God if they'd accept God, but they rejected God. The Jews did. The Gentiles accepted him. The Jews rejected him. John said he came to his own received him not. But as many as received of him, to him gave he the power to become sons of God. So we can have peace with our fellow man. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, we see where Paul said, for he is our peace, Christ, is, who has made both one, that is the Jew and Gentile, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments and contained ordinances. And so making peace, he said, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So we can have peace between the Jew and Gentiles. Peace was brought by God. Isaiah said in Isaiah 10, he talked about the peace that would exist when people obeyed the gospel. He's prophesying what would be the case. He said, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling thereof. And a little child shall lead them. So he's talking about how peaceful it would be when people accepted the Messiah. And the cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Then shall they not destroy and all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And again in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So he's talking about the restful peace that God brings when you're obedient to the gospel that would be brought about by Jesus Christ. We talked about that prophecy in our study on Wednesday night. Then he said in verse 25 of chapter 65, he says, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy, and all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. He's talking about he uses figurative language to express the peace that would be brought by the Messiah coming in, bringing redemption to the world. And see, we can have peace with ourselves. Peace with God, peace with man, peace with ourselves. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I said rejoice. He said, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, so keep your hearts and minds to Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's nothing more peaceful than being obedient to God and what that brings to God and man's relationship, what it brings to men together, and just ourselves. We can be at peace in our hearts by knowing that we're obedient to God and that we've obeyed the gospel. See, you know, the gospel endures forever. And we can endure forever, eternally with God if we are obedient to it. Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we can be as the word of God is, as we live and abide with God. And as we live and abide with God in this life, we'll live and abide with Him forever in the afterlife. And he's talked about the flesh and the exhausting nature of just things around us is for the grass. So the flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of God, the word of the Lord endureth forever. He said, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. See, don't wait for a different message or a more convenient season. Remember Felix, when Paul reasoned with him and his wife of righteous temperance and justice to come. Jesus said, go away, for this time when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. Don't wait for that. There's no record that convenient season ever came for Felix. He put it off. I don't want to hear it now. Maybe later. No, you need to hear it now. You need to take action now. If you've not obeyed the gospel, you need to do that. And Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, he says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any of the gospel to you, that which we preach of them be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you, than that you have received, let him be accursed. So we can't wait for some other gospel to come along, but to believe the gospel that God has delivered to us. Anything else will not save us, because the words of Jesus will judge us. In John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said, he that rejecteth and receiveth not my word, that is his gospel, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? See, the gospel must be obeyed. We must obey it in order to be saved. You expect salvation, you must obey it. Paul told those in Thessalonica, he said, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Acacia, but in every place your faith to God would have spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything of you because they had received the gospel and obeyed it. He commended those in Thessalonica for their reception of the gospel and obedience to it. But Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 16, for they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And see, today, not everyone's obeyed the gospel. I think there's probably some here that not everyone here has obeyed the gospel. Why not? Why wait? Why not obey him today? Why not be immediate about him? Over in Acts chapter 16, we see when the Philippian jailer came into Paul and said, what shall I do to be saved? They took him the same hour and washed his stripes and baptized him. That night. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, when then as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he says, I've heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation I've succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, do we? Do you know that you're going to be alive tomorrow? Man, we could all just, any one of us could fall over dead at any moment. I mean, it could happen. Have you ever been startled by the fact that someone you knew, you heard that they just passed away? I mean, just out of the blue like that. I've known several people like that. I mentioned some time ago, and we sang the song in the garden where Jesus is waiting. They sang that song at the funeral of my best friend when I was in the fifth grade, I think it was. And it had tonsillectomy and he just died all of a sudden. Shock to me. I mean, that was, when my mom told me that, I was in a shock. I mean, I was just, couldn't move. It was a shock. He was a healthy kid and he just died. See, we need to completely and always obey God. James said in James chapter 1, verse 22, he said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So if we're a hearer and not a doer, we're self-deceived. Because it's possible, the gospel is possible when it's mixed with faith. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, he said, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We have to have faith in God's word. But some heard the gospel, but it was like water running off of a duck's back. It didn't penetrate. Because it was not mixed with faith. And the gospel must be obeyed because it calls sinners to repentance. Paul said, repent ye there. Or Peter said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And Paul told those that he preached to that they showed first unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem and to it all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet or suitable for repentance. We have to prove our faith by our actions. The gospel of Christ. And Paul said, and only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am in absence, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's how we ought to be. That's how it has to be in order for us to expect to be saved by God. But if you do not obey the gospel, you'll suffer the wrath of God. You'll suffer the wrath of God. Because Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 7, he said unto you, he's talking to those of Thessalonica who are faithful, who are troubled or being persecuted with us,
He said, rest with us when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His power. There's the other side of it. Do you want to be punished with everlasting destruction? Do you want God's wrath to come upon you? Because if you don't obey the gospel, it will. See, the gospel of Christ is about the Son of God who came among men to die on the cross, to shed His blood for the remission of mankind's sins. He was buried in the tomb for 3 days. He rose again on the third day. Now, one obeys the gospel in response to God's grace is to believe the truths that are expressed in God's Word. The Son of God tells us that we must hear the gospel. We must believe it. We must repent of our sins. We must confess our faith in Christ, that He's the Son of God, and be baptized to have your sins washed away. And that brings you in contact with the blood that He shed for you in order to make this possible. And sometimes Christians do err and they sin, and we need to go to that throne of grace and repent and pray, perhaps the thought of our heart might be forgiven us. Because if we're faithful unto death, we'll receive the crown of righteousness that the Lord has promised to those that are faithful to Him. Do you want to see it, receive eternal life, that crown of righteousness that John talked about in Revelation 2 verse 10? Do you want to receive that? Then you have to obey the gospel. If you have it, you won't receive it. So which will it be? I encourage anyone today who has not obeyed the gospel to do that. Remember, behold now is acceptable to time. Behold now is the day of salvation. If you're in any way accepted, the Lord's invitation, where did you come? It's together. You stand and sing.